Well, good evening to you all. It's wonderful to be gathered from so many different places and churches. People have been associated with Joel and Myra through their 13-year exodus in Europe and before they're heading back to Latin America once again. I want to share from Psalm 34. Rather than looking forward to what they're going to be doing, and I'm sure they're going to be sharing about that, I want to just look back and share with you from the psalm the wonderful thanksgiving that we feel in our hearts tonight of seeing this project, this calling, this commissioning come to fruition. It's not been an easy journey, and it's been a phenomenal one, remarkable, because God is faithful. And that's the keynote I want to express tonight, just the faithfulness of God. And I've entitled just as we talk, Delighting in the Faithful One. It's wonderful just singing the choruses and the hymns together this evening. I had no part in choosing those, but it just tests me again of how the Holy Spirit leads. Stuart chose the hymns. He didn't know what I was preaching on. I was led to this passage, and the two come together wonderfully. I want to just give a wee introduction to this psalm, to the message really, and then we're going to read it. Tonight's just a wonderful testimony, because in 3 months, from a place of zero, of nothingness, Joel, Myra, and Joel Fernando have got to the point of being of boarding the plane tomorrow. And it is truly exceptional, remarkable. Except God is faithful. And it's his faithfulness that we want to praise and to thank this evening. And his goodness, his faithfulness is echoed here in this psalm of David's own experience. And we'll look at the circumstances of that. Singing to God's praise and glory, that he is faithful. He has delivered David from the jaws of death, from being annihilated. God worked out a wonderful way for David to come through a time of extreme crisis. And David in this psalm wants to glorify God. And it's not enough for him to glorify God. He wants us to glorify God with him. And I think this is just the very fitting psalm to share tonight, that we can glorify God and give thanks for the testimony that Joel and Myra will be sharing themselves. And it's got a vital lesson in the psalm as well, because fear is a big immobilizer in the Christian life, and indeed in life in general. Things we fear, we don't dare go forward, and we fall short so often of things that we could excel in with God's grace and his strength. Our faith often becomes too weak to grasp the extent of God's power and his love, that we don't step up to the mark. Well, David stepped up to the mark, and he found God's sufficiency. And in my work as the coordinator for Latinlink in Scotland, I meet with many people that... It seems to have gone dead. Oh, no, it's... Oh, that's great. I wish I could be recharged as quickly as that. Thank you. In my work, I meet many people that are exploring possibilities with the Lord, and yet they fall short because they don't have the confidence, the faith in God, that he is able to give the grace to put them forward, enable them to raise the funds. And so often you see the disappointment of people just falling short because of that whole faith element. So first point I want to make is, come praise with me. And let's read this psalm, just the first 10 verses. Spurgeon says the first 10 verses are like a hymn, and then the final bit is like a sermon. Well, we're just going to read the hymn bit. I will extol the Lord at all times. It's Psalm 34, verse 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Then he talks about his own experience of the difficulties he went through. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. There's a preface to the psalm. It's attributed to David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. And just as a quick refresher of what happened, because of Saul, King Saul, who was reigning, had this murderous campaign to wipe David out, the threat of the succession of the crown to him. He was obviously jealous and fearful of David. He was a popular leader, a great warrior, a champion for Israel. And in this murderous pursuit, David flees over the border and into the enemy territory, and he's brought before the king of Gath. And he's recognized as the rightful king and heir of Israel, a warrior and mighty person who had slain their people in the tens of thousands. And he was in a tight place. And this is the circumstances that are behind the writing of this psalm. And we see how God delivered David. David feigned insanity. He let the spittle dribble down his beard. He marked the doorposts with his spit, and he just acted like a crazy person. But who would be taken in? Why let this golden opportunity slip of annihilating David? There was revenge that the king of Gath could have had. He could destroy all the future risks just by having this man killed. And the king of Gath says to his court, and it reads quite comically, he says this, "Look at the man. He's insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow to carry on like this in front of me?" And you see, it is the hand of the Lord that brings about a very desperate ploy that David had. He was in the very jaws of death. And it wasn't his ingenuity that persuaded the king of Gath to let him go. But you see, God was in this, delivering him out of what seemed certain death. And when you read these first three verses, they are brimming with thankfulness, with elation, with a sense of supreme joy in the splendor and the protective hand, the love and the power of his King and Lord, the God Almighty. You read these words, "I will extol the Lord. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord." And he talks about glorifying and exalting this King. Nothing will quieten him. And I think the mood in your household in these last 2 weeks since you reached that 100% has been a sense of elation that you have been brought to this place against human odds and uncertainties. And I'm sure your hearts have just been overflowing with praise and thankfulness to He who is wholly faithful. And it's not enough for David to praise God alone. Verse 3, he implores God to he implores others, ourselves, to glorify God with him. In a way, our praise is incomplete until we share the joy of the thing that we highly prize with others. And we highly prize God. We want to praise him with others. It's like one who has newly come in love with someone, wants to praise that person, wants to share about how wonderful that person is. Or the football fan wants to recount how his team played splendidly. Or the one who come back from the tea in the park and seen their live band, the favourite band that they've seen for the first time, want to share this joy with others. Well, those are just worldly examples, but I think you get a sense of what David is about here. He considers those who are going through difficulties. In verse 2, he said, listen, take hope in God. He's, you know, he's saying, this is the kind of God that we have. He's delivered me. Look to him. Put your faith and confidence and trust in him, because he won't disappoint. And that is a message that is imparted through God's word to us tonight. We may be in a hard and difficult place now. And he's saying, take hope, take stock, look to who you worship. Is he not able? Is he not sufficient? Is he not all powerful? Is he not knowing about your situation? Because he loves you and intimately knows you. Put your confidence in him, therefore. And that may be where we are this evening. Maybe there's someone here that is on the step of stepping into some ministry or going out on mission, thinking, how can it happen? Feel the sense of calling, but you doubt yourself and maybe not made of the right stuff. Thinking about where's the finance going to come from? Where's the support? Who's my sending church going to be? All these sort of things. And this links us into the second part, verses 4-7. And I've called this In the Hard Place, because David talks out of his own situation. In verse 4, he talks about God delivering him from all his fears. In verse 6, he refers to himself as a poor man, although the heir elect, the heir apparent, the prince about to take the throne at some point in the future promised to him, he is in a state of abject powerlessness as he is in the court of the king of his enemy, stripped of all power and authority, captive and at the mercy of a pagan king. That's rock bottom. And his testimony is God saved him from all his troubles. And we hear that refrain in verses 5 and 7. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. What's our testimony of deliverance? What's our song of praise? What is our own pilgrimage out of which we can sing from first-hand experience of this God who knows us and loves us and keeps us? I want to share briefly from Hoel and Myra's testimony. You're going to be sharing, and I hope I don't take your thunder. but just fitting in their own journey, and as I've been traveling with them, as many of you have been these last months, we've been aware of the challenges, the difficulties, the hard places. And yet God's wonderfully working a way through those difficulties to glorify himself. At the beginning of March, for those of you at the Partick Trinity, the away day. It's that Saturday afternoon of the away day. Hoel and Myra and Joel Fernando, we went for a walk in the wintry woods. It was pretty grim, wasn't it? It was overcast and it wasn't raining. And they honestly shared with me, I mean, it's just at the time when they had been accepted, there'd been quite a protracted application, and just heard that everything was going to go ahead. And this was March time. And they said, we want to be out in Latin America by July. Do you think that is going to be possible? And they went on and said, who will support us, you know? They were trying to be realistic, you know, and they said, we're not native Scots, you know. We've moved around a lot. We've never been in one place long enough to be a home for people to really know us. Although, I mean, with Joel, you only need to see him for an hour and you feel you know him. He's a character bigger than life. So if you spend a year in a place, people really know you, yes. But I mean, these are honest fears, just wondering how is it earthly going to work out? And so they said, is it realistic? And my answer was yes and no. No in human terms, because in 3 months to try and raise such a target was a huge, difficult climb. But because of God, we can say yes. Because God is God and we have to believe it. But it challenges faith. And faith, I think, always starts off with this element of doubt. A harsh reality of doubt. We all encounter it. And faith is looking to one who is faithful. Of not untrusting that we've got the answers. In fact, faith often starts in a place of dereliction. Of being in a place of impossibilities. A challenge far too great for humanly to bring about. And that's why we gather this evening, thankful of the one who is all faithful. And the challenges haven't all been about money, but there have been other difficulties. And I don't want to go into them, but I don't want to leave them aside. But they came to a point where they were left without a church home. And there was a real question at the time of the application, who will send them? And it's not surprising to me. I've often encountered this before with other applicants. They come to a point of going forward in God's purposes, and then suddenly a big obstacle comes up, and it almost cuts across the tracks to try and discourage and put them on the retreat. And it's perplexing. For David, it was the same. His way to the throne was at first downward. Downward, downward, downward. Right into the court of the king of Gath, where he had to pretend to be insane to escape. A weak ploy, but a ploy that God enabled to deceive the king of Gath so that his heir apparent would be released, that this messianic figure of Israel would come to the throne in God's time. And there's been the solidarity with other Christians as well. As we see tonight, many churches, people from different areas in your life coming together, people encouraging, getting behind you, people coming alongside you at times of crisis, even before you came into this whole application, seeking counsel and hearing the Lord's word through trusted friends. And that's just another challenge I want to bring to us tonight. Are we people who are there for others in crisis? Are we the sort of people that are looking out and standing with those who are in crisis? Alan Redpath said these words, "My heart is stirred by a desire not only to have a Jonathan in my life, that is surely something very wonderful but very selfish, but also that I may find a David to whom I could be a Jonathan." I think we can take encouragement tonight just from these words of being a pillar, standing with those in adversity, when there's confusion and doubt, to come and steady their hand, pray with them. And the outcome to all these challenges for Hoel and Myra have been comfort, the solidarity they've known with others through this lonely time, their adoption by this church here in Partick Trinity, a mission agency to provide the means to enable them to go and be sent, and another church significantly coming alongside them in AIR. All these things unexpected at the outset, but answers from a God who is all faithful. And finally is the invitation in verses 8 to 10. David says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." He calls us to put our trust in God. Forget about scheming. Forget about trusting in money, in worldly ways, people of influence. Forsake working it out on our own. Look to the Lord who is faithful. Trust him. He goes on to say, "The one who makes God his refuge is called blessed. Don't look at the world. Don't look at circumstances. Turn away from the fear that you fear beating away in your own heart. Fear God only. And things will then take perspective. Because God is supreme in power and he can rescue us from anything. Nothing is too big for him to deal with. And verse 10 just talks about the lions growing weak and hungry. The mightiest of beasts. Who in the animal kingdom can defeat a lion? And there are men of lion-like reputation whom we might fear. But don't. That's why these words are here. Don't only fear him who is able to carry us, to bring salvation, to bring deliverance from all our fears, to enable us out of a hard and stony place, to bring us into a place of blessing. There will be fears and challenges and setbacks ahead, occasions again for this family to trust God. And I think you'll be used greatly in the Bible summary as well, from your own journey and these difficulties, the ups and downs of the 13 or so years that you've been in Europe. You can share that with young men and women stepping up to the mark to want to serve in their churches, to go cross-culturally. Your experience, your personal testimony will be alongside your teaching and giving a sense of the genuine, because it's from your heartfelt personal experience, not some academic knowledge of the Word of God, but live out in experience. And for the rest of us, how's our own testimony? Are we expressing the faithfulness of God by the choices we make? Is our God big enough to provide? Is his grace sufficient in our weaknesses? Is he generous enough to provide the means to enable us to step up to the mark and to go? Let me just briefly pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your dealings with David, that out of the jaws of death you delivered him. You brought him from a very weak place and brought him on the road to becoming your king. We can thank you that we worship the same God, that we can be thankful and extol you and praise you and boast about the things that you have done in our lives. And help us to see in the times of doubt who you are, that faith is reasonable because you are wholly faithful. Open our eyes and see your greatness, your very great love that is concern for the details of our lives, the one who waits and urges and seeks us to move forward, weak by faltering step in your way and purposes. Strengthen us, we pray. Forgive us, Lord, when we turn away, doubting, given over to our own human concerns. But we praise you that you are a God who forgives, a God who again and again seeks to fan into flame a love for your world, a love for you that can move mountains. And we praise you and give you all the glory this evening. You are the focal point of our meeting. You're the testimony of one who is wholly good and wholly trustworthy. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
First of all, I want to say thank you to Martin for reading that to us and leading us in that way. I'm sure it's a great comfort to Joel and Myers to know that you've got to look as though you're mad in order to be used by God mightily in the way that Martin was leading us. But that sense of God taking unlikely people from difficult situations and being driven by God's call. David was the anointed king, although he was a madman in prison. And God was going to make sure that he ended up where he wanted him. And Puebla in Mexico, we believe, is where God wants the three of you. And I want just to invite you to come and say whatever you want to say to us this evening. I've got a microphone here. And I don't know who's going to take it first, but you can just share with us as you see fit.
The kingdom of God is among you. That's the first thing that I would like to say. The kingdom of God is among you. I want to say thank you. Words are not enough to Mayra, myself, and to Joel Fernando to express our gratitude, our thanksgiving both to God and to all you guys, to the churches in Partick here, Partick Trinity, to churches like Wellington Church, churches like Bersten, our friends, our churches from Spain in Torrevieja, churches like San Colomba in Ayr and Riverside, churches like Helensboro, churches like
Hamilton, Bersten,
Hamilton, Dolry, Straven, Drumclog. Churches have been really supporting us in a way that to us right now, 12 weeks, Martin, 12 weeks. In March, you said that the positive was likely to be a positive one, but it was not until April that we received the official letter from Latin Link stating that, yes, we had been accepted as their mission partners for the STRIDE program, which means that it was not until Holy Week, at the end of Holy Week after Easter, that we began this process of fundraising. So it has been 12 weeks since we began that. And yes, in March, when we had your green light, we thought, how are we going to achieve this? Why the question at that time? Well, because my intention to go and to do mission was going to be, in my plans, in my scheme of thinking, was going to happen by the end of the year, this year. But a series of situations turned out to be that I had to anticipate, we had to anticipate this project. And so it was not until April that we were free to start doing this, raising our funding for the mission. There has been 12 weeks of intense programming, visiting, praying, fasting, anxiety, but also has been a time of great blessing to us as a family. So we would like to say thank you to each one of you for being with us and journeying with us and for supporting us as friends, as sponsors, for praying for us, for being a family to us for these last years of our being here in Scotland, 5 years in Scotland. Altogether, Martin, my years of pilgrimage in Britain altogether come to 16 years now. So 3 more years than 13. Not long, I'm not going to say like Jacob. That has been a great time, but we are grateful to the Lord that he has allowed us, he has enabled us to prepare and to put up all this project to go to Puebla in Mexico. And all of you know what we are going to be doing, I assume, yes. We will be involved in mission, in training of future pastors and missionaries in Puebla at a seminary in that city, and that is going to start from the 18th of August. The day we arrive is when the academic year begins, so I'm missing the first year, the first day of class. But yes, and in 2 years down the line, we will be coming back to Scotland, since Scotland is our home base. We'll be reporting to Partick Trinity, to Riverside, to all the churches that have been really involved in our sponsoring, and then renew our contract with Latin Link for the rest of our commitment and placement as a, now not as a Strider anymore, but as a stay program for indefinite period. You would like to say, to share something?
Thank you. Thank you for being there.
Gracias.
And we are carrying you with us. So we feel your love, your prayers, but also a big responsibility. So we will require your prayers. We will keep you updated, and you will receive a newsletter every month. And these last couple of weeks have been very quiet for some new letters because we were packing. And the truth is we couldn't find two things together sometimes. So has been amazing, your support. We love you, all of you, you know that. And we will miss you. But we are planning to see you again in 2 years' time, hopefully in the same city or in the same area. So, but in God's will, we will be united.
Yeah. I'm glad that you didn't cry. I cried earlier on, and I... the other thing that I would like to say to Stuart, to the members of our congregations here, is that we go to Mexico, and in some way we are going back to our continent, to our somehow to our roots, cultural roots. But we are going there conscious that we are sent out by Scotland. And our responsibility, our first responsibility, our accountability, if I may say that, is to Scotland. So we will do our best to represent well Scotland, and the churches that are sending us. We'll keep in touch with you. And remember, yes, Cuban, yes, Honduran, and yeah, well, definitely west of west of Scotland. But we are representing you, and we will try to be good ambassadors of your churches, of your country, whether it's going to be independent after a year or no, or still united. We are going to be representing your churches in Scotland for the foreseeable future. And that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to stress that out. Points for prayer at this stage. We are planning to, we are traveling tomorrow morning, early morning, and we are going to spend 3 weeks of holidays in Honduras. And we will be grateful if you sustain us in prayer for safetiness during our traveling in Honduras. Something that you will be praying continually as we are in Mexico as well, but at least we need to visit family. The first week we would like to go to the sea, by the sea, and chill out and relax and recharge our batteries. And then we are planning to go to Tegucigalpa. We're planning to go to see the family, Mayra's family, around the country, and to keep them informed about our whereabouts. We would like, please, to pray for us. The second thing, apart from first, safety in travel, we would like to get to Honduras as a source of blessing to our family. So we would like to be a blessing to them, encourage them. We are the first one in the family to be missionaries to Latin America, and they are with a great question mark. Why do we want to go back to Latin America if we are settled around here in Europe and in Britain? So we would like to bless them, to encourage them, and to come with that freshness of the spirit, so that they could be also motivated, not to support us, but to support us, not financially necessarily, which some of them are already doing it, but to support us as a family. So that we may able to keep up the bonds of family relationship with them. And the third thing that I will ask you to pray is for this period, yes, of preparation to arrive there in Puebla, to do the job that we are supposed to do, preparing classes, etc., at different levels, undergraduate and postgraduate, and who is up to for this task? Well, I don't feel like I feel like I need more preparation, but there you are. That's what I'm set out to do, and we will do it with God's help and grace. So please remember us during this period, and we will be arriving in Puebla on the 18th of August.